And the third verse, in the will of the Lord, we'll turn to one or two other verses before we close. But we'd like to begin with Isaiah 61 and the third verse. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. The words, especially in the middle of the verse there, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Clothing, something we're all familiar with. It's a popular subject at any season, but particularly at this season of the year. You think of the gifts that have been given and exchanged. Many of you in all probability have received gifts of clothing and garments during this past week, perhaps even wearing some of those new items of clothing in the house of the Lord today. Just to remind you of what the scriptures tell us, having food and raiment therewith to be content. We live in an age that is very covetous, an age that is very greedy, and that is often never more so evident than at Christmas time. But it ought not to be the mark of the Christian. Contentment, as it is often described, should be something that is found in all of our lives. And those are the two great things, having food and raiment, therewith to be content. And each of us have been blessed in abundance with both of those matters. The Bible has much to say on the matter of clothing, on the matter of dress. I want you to be in absolutely no doubt today. God is interested in how you dress, the clothing that you wear. God is very interested in how you appear, your appearance, as it is before the world. I know there are objections that are made to that, and those objections seem to rise as time goes on. One of the most common objections that is made is the words that are found in the story of David. Whenever it was recorded, as Samuel stood there in the house of Jesse, and they were looking for a king for Israel, and Jesse was bringing in his sons, and Samuel thought the Lord's anointed was before him, and the Lord had to rebuke Samuel the prophet and say, "Man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." The general interpretation people give to those words is, God's only interested in your heart, not interested in your appearance and how you dress in the outward. That's certainly not the meaning. That is far from being the meaning of those words. Remember that you don't take one verse and try to make it say something that's contrary to the teaching of the whole of the Word of God. What that verse is actually saying is this: man can only see the outward appearance. That's as far as our vision can go. But what the Lord sees is much clearer, much fuller, much deeper than that. The Lord can also see the heart. It's not saying the Lord isn't interested in the outward. He is, and the Word of God as a whole makes that very clear to us. It's teaching the Lord can see much further. That was what Samuel couldn't see that day. He could only see the outward appearance. And doesn't it bring it all together when you think that David was described as the man after God's own heart? The Lord could see David's heart. The older brothers didn't have the right heart for the job that the Lord had for them. So you be in absolutely no doubt this morning. God is interested in your dress. God is interested in how you appear. There are certain principles that are laid down in the Word of God, general principles with regard to dress. Maybe on some occasion we'll take time to look at those more fully, in a little more detail. But you think of the principle of modesty. The Bible teaches clearly about modest apparel, and isn't that something that needs to be emphasized in the immodest day and generation in which we live? The Bible also teaches, with regard to dress, the the principle of association. We should never dress in any way that associates us with some sinful or wicked group of people. For example, if sodomites are known by a certain form of dress, then that would be the last thing that we would want to wear, or the last group in any way by our clothing and our appearance that we would want to be identified with. So there are certain principles such as those that are set out clearly in the Word of God. But just to say to you, having given that introduction, it's not your physical clothing I want to consider so much this morning, but your spiritual dress. There are spiritual garments that are set out for us in the Word of God. And God is also interested in those spiritual garments. And he teaches about them in many places in his Word. And I want to highlight some of them for you. I think it's appropriate as an old year ends and as a new year is soon to begin for us. The first is here, the first of those spiritual garments. In Isaiah 61, verse 3, the garment of praise. I have mentioned to you two bereavements in connection with our congregation this morning. We do that quite frequently. It's a regular part of the announcements and the service. Whenever I went to Martyrs in Dr. Paisley's time, these are verses, or these are words that he would often repeat to the congregation at the time of bereavement to give beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And in that regard, they're appropriate for us this morning to emphasize in the light of the deaths that have been connected with this church during the past few weeks. But here's a garment, brethren and sisters, that every believer should wear. Every Christian should be noted for their praise, the garment of praise. Do you know when you have your quiet time, and I trust that you do, seek to have that time with God every day. Maybe in this last year you haven't devoted the time to that you should. Maybe it has lapsed a little. If that has been the case, if you've got careless towards your personal devotions, I'd encourage you, as this new year begins, purpose in your heart. You're going to spend that time with God every day. There are three books in particular that every Christian should have with them at their private devotions. The Bible, of course, and number one, the Book of God. A daily devotional book to give you a little message for your heart. And the third is the hymn book or the song book. The reality, brethren and sisters, is if you have no song, then you're not in the right place with God. If you have no song in your heart and life today, then you're backslidden. Like King David, you've lost the joy. Not lost your salvation, but you've lost the joy of your salvation. When you get down for that quiet time with God every day, one thing that should mark it is it should be a time of praise, a time of worship, a time of thanksgiving to God for his goodness to you. You think of Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus. We've been thinking of Mary and all of those events just in recent days. Mary in the Word of God is set forth as a woman of praise. I'd encourage you to look at her life and to study it in that regard. Remember, she sang that great song that is known as the Magnificat. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. She was a woman of praise. And brethren and sisters, we ought to be like her. You think this morning of the many songs in the Bible. In many regards, the Bible is a song book too. We sing the Psalms. Many of the portions of Scripture have been paraphrased for us to sing as well. There are many other songs in the Book of God. That would be a nice study for you next year, reading through the Bible. Look for all the songs. The first Christmas carols, they're all recorded there in the Gospels. Think of Exodus 15, the song that the children of Israel sang. Remember, Miriam led them in the singing of that song after that, by God's almighty power, He had led them through the Red Sea. Many songs in the Bible. And that's encouraging us. That's showing us that as God's people, we ought to be engaged in song. We should lift our hearts, lift our voices as we sing the praises of our God. Now you ponder for a moment and ask yourself, do you ever sing? Not just when you're in church, in the meetings, but do you ever sing in praise to God? Now I know some of you might say you can't sing. Over the last few weeks we have been highlighting Dr. Barnes' new book on the life of Billy Bray, what a character he was. He's attributed to him some very unusual statements, and one of those was this: the Lord wants to hear the crow as well as the nightingale. Wants to hear the crow sing as well as the nightingale. The Bible says we're to make a joyful noise. Does not bring us all in. Whether you can sing in tune or out of tune, or whether you can sing or not, what the Lord wants to hear is a joyful, doesn't talk about tuneful, a joyful noise unto the Lord. Christians should be people that are marked by praise. And I want to encourage you, brethren and sisters, to take time. We're meeting in the Lord's house this Sabbath morning, the 31st day of December, the last day of 2017. Take a moment as you sit in your seat in the Lord's house this morning just to look back over the last year. And the Lord's hand for good, goodness and mercy have followed us. All the days of our life, goodness and mercy have followed us individually, collectively, all the days of 2017. And if there's one thing that should draw from your heart on this, the last day of the old year, it is praise. You should be wearing the garment of praise on this, the last day of the old year. There is a saying that some Christians have enough religion to make them miserable. Some Christians are the most miserable people on earth. The most miserable people that you meet. And how sad that is, brethren and sisters. It's certainly a very poor and a very sad advertisement for the gospel and for the things of God. Can I remind you that we should praise the Lord always, whatever your circumstances, not just in the good and happy times. The Bible says we're to rejoice in the Lord always. It doesn't say you're just to rejoice in the Lord when things are going well, when you've been blessed, always. And remember, he emphasized it because he said, and again I say, rejoice. The Bible says, in everything, we're to give thanks. The Bible says, I will bless the Lord at all times. How important those words are. How appropriate those words are. At all times. Not just when we think things are going well, when the Lord's hand is upon us for good. I will bless the Lord at all times. Do you know, one of the reasons why we should bless him at all times, brethren and sisters, because regardless of what is happening in our lives, he's in control. My Father planned it all. His hand is guiding. Everything that he is doing, never forget, it's for good. All things work together for good. It's for our good and for his glory. You know, the devil's greatest weapon, the greatest weapon the devil has in his armory, is the weapon of discouragement. One of the things the devil wants to do in your life, and one of the things the devil wants to do among a fellowship, a congregation of God's people, is to break your spirit, to discourage you so much that you don't want to carry on. You don't want to go on in the Christian life, and you don't want to go on in the work. And remember, lest you think for one moment that would never happen to you, remember some of the great men of God, Elijah, for one, sitting under the juniper tree, wishing for himself that he might die. He was in that place of total despair and discouragement. The book of Proverbs says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. It's good to be happy. It's good to have that cheerful countenance, that cheerful personality. Nothing does you good like a bit of humor, a bit of happiness. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, But the other part of that same verse says, but sorrow of the heart, or by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. And that's a warning to us, brethren and sisters. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to get you into that frame of mind where he will break your spirit, discourage you to the point that you will no longer want to serve the Lord and do the work of God. It's the greatest weapon that he has. Mr. Nicholson, in his meetings, he would often sing that chorus, "Down in the dumps, I'll never go," because that's where the devil loves it so. And that's something we need to guard against. Guard against how subtle the devil is. We are not ignorant of his devices. It's a dangerous place, brethren and sisters, to be down in the dumps, to be cast down. Nehemiah said, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." Never forget that. That the strength there is in the joy that the Lord gives to us as his people. And that's what the devil wants to take from you. That's what he wants to attack. You say today, what should I rejoice in? Well, there's so many things. I've encouraged you to look back on this old year and thank God for the blessings that you have received. But remember that ultimately, we should rejoice today that our names are written in heaven, that we're saved, redeemed by grace and by precious blood. I wonder, is that true of you this morning? 2017 almost at an end. Another year of your life is almost over. God in his mercy has spared you through this year. Can you say today your name's written in heaven? Can you say today that you're saved by the Lord's grace? I urge you not to let the year close without coming to know Christ as your Savior. You know, Mr. Spurgeon, he used to say, when your heart is full of Christ, you will want to sing. When your heart is full of Christ, you will want to sing. How encouraging that is, men and women, to have our hearts full of Christ. Sometimes our hearts are full of so many other things, full of things that ought not to be there in the heart of a child of God, wickedness and planning and deceit and lust and all of those things. Our hearts need to be full of Christ. That will only happen as we meditate upon the Word, as we spend time with him, as we come to the meetings and hear the Word of God preached and hear the Word of God proclaimed. Your heart full of Christ. Get your eyes off this world and off the things of this world and get your eyes upon the Savior and live every day looking unto Jesus, the one that is the author and the finisher of our faith. That's just the first of those garments. I may just leave it there. There's a few others I had thought of mentioning to you. I don't want to delay the meeting any longer than necessary at this holiday season. I'll say this to you just as a close. In the light of that, and there are other spiritual garments mentioned in the scriptures. You take a little time to ponder that. Maybe this afternoon you could think of some others. But let me ask you the question, just as we close today. How are you dressed? And remember, we're not so much thinking this morning of how you're dressed physically. We have emphasized that that is important to the Lord, and there's much about those things in the Word of God. But how are you dressed today spiritually? Do you have the spiritual garments upon you that the Lord shows us in his Word are so important to the Christian life? Do you have the garment of praise upon your life? As the old year is closing, how are you closing out the old year? Miserable? Grumpy? Critical? Remember, as Christians, we should be closing out the old year with deep thankfulness to the Lord for his faithfulness to us. The garment of praise. And remember that these garments, that they're not to be like your Sunday clothes, your Sunday suit. They're not just to be clothes you put on one day of the week and then take them off when you go home from church. These are garments that you're to wear continually. And I encourage you that right through this new year, ask the Lord to renew a right spirit within you with regard to these things, and that you're going to be a praising Christian, that every day you're going to give praise. Praise others for their goodness, their kindness, their help, their support, and so on. Be like Barnabas, who was the great encourager of the New Testament church. But most of all, brethren and sisters, through this new year, praise the Lord every day you live for his goodness and those mercies that are new to us every morning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. 724, there's just two verses.